Today on episode 002 of Six Sense Video Game Podcast, Move Hearts Avatars, Deadweight likes playing with everyone, and I have a giveaway for all you guys, but you have to listen to the end of the podcast, sneaky bastards. What's up, everyone? Yeah. It is Maverick 2006 hitting up the second podcast that we got going. And I am major excited because, you know, we just did our first podcast and all of it is out of the way. All the pressure's gone. And
give them a name.
Oh, yes. Six Sense is the crew's name. If you want, you can hit us up at the website. That's sixcentsvgp.blogspot.com. That's the number 6, CENTSVGP.BLOGSPOT.COM. And you can hit that up and you can check out the different posts we've been posting. And that's where all the podcasts are going to be showing up. And yeah. Anyways, like I said, my name is Maverick. You can hit me up on the PlayStation Network at Maverick2006, and you can also hit me up on the Xbox 360 at the same name.
What's up, Choco Bros? This is Smoof. No mentions of anything, just saying hi.
Yeah, and I'm Deadweight. You can hit me up at deadweight.sixcents@gmail.com or www.myspace.com/IamDeadweight.
Nice. And like Deadweight has explained, we do have emails now, like I promised in the first podcast. My email address is maverick.sixcents, CENTS@gmail.com. So maverick.sixcents@gmail.com, and Smoof is smoof.sixcents@gmail.com. So if you have any hate mail, nude pictures, you know, whatever, you can send that our way. That will also be on the website as well. So since all that's out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been playing. Smoof, you want to lead us off on this one?
Sure. I've just been playing Resistance. I had that floating around. Someone that left behind for... I'm not sure if it was for me, but decided to pop that in. So it was pretty fun. Then Assassin's Creed, playing up again.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just love that game. It's just... I feel like the medieval Spider-Man, Batman in that game. Falling around all over the walls and stuff. Yep. And, Resistance. I didn't know... People were saying that, like... How the hit points, you had to refill it. It was more like the old ways, like Doom, where you had like health points. And it really wasn't like that too much. It was kind of like every other shooter right now anyways, where your health can refill as long as you don't go past like that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, yeah, those are the games I've been playing right now.
Deadweight?
Okay, really, I've been playing a lot of demos. I haven't really jumped into any disc games lately. I've been playing Pain. You can check out my blog. I put up about Pain and the recent add-on about Abusement Park. Lots of fun. If you don't have that one, download it. You should have it. If you have a PS3, download it. I played the demo for Civilization, the console version of Civ. It's pretty cool. I think it's worth checking out. If you're a Civ fan, and you want to play on a console, it's worth checking out. I liked it. Other than that, that's about it. That's been taking up my time besides, of course, SOCOM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone and Six Sense has been playing the SOCOM beta. We can't say much about it, I believe, because if we were to talk in depth, they'd probably put a gag order on us. So.
Shh.
Oh, but other than that... I've been playing a lot of party games lately. I've been playing some Rock Band, like I said in the last podcast. I've been playing Wii Fit, believe it or not. And I am in my target age range for my weight. Woo! So I am excited. I've been playing some Mercenaries. That's going okay. I just downloaded a couple stuff off of the Xbox 360 XBLA arcade, and actually I'm just playing demos right now of some old school stuff like Streets of Rage 2, some Sonic. I've been playing some Luminous that they have on there. Haven't purchased any of them because I'm not really interested after playing the demo. So I downloaded Super Monkey Ball for the iPod Touch. I was playing that for a hot second a little bit ago. Pretty cool. Controls are kind of clunky, but I guess I just have to get used to it. But that's pretty much it with me.
Yay!
Yeah! So, let's go ahead and go on to the general news. I can go ahead and start since I'm on the top of the list because I put myself there. We're talking about some gag orders. Are they really necessary? The reason why I brought this up is because of the recent development of the whole Red Ring of Death issue that's been going around. There's a book being made about, you know, Microsoft knowing the issue, but they still push the console. And the recent person who got nailed on this was Robert Delaware. Apparently he was a tester for Xbox, or for Microsoft. And he actually talked to the guy who's making the book about the issue and gave him, you know, insight on what Microsoft knew about the console. They knew that the console had issues and they knew that something was going to happen, but they pushed the console out anyways. So that's why he mentioned that Microsoft already had in line the replacement warranty program that they have. So if you guys are not sure about that, which I'd be very surprised that you don't know that warranty information. If your console does get a Red Ring of Death, Microsoft sends you out a box, you put the console in the box, you send it to them, they fix it for free, and then send it back. So in related news, a couple months ago, actually not a couple months ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, Itagaki from Tecmo left the company. But the company told him not to say anything about, you know, what was going on in the company and don't release any, you know, vital information. And I just want to get your guys' inputs on these gag orders that have been, you know, released and people being fired for letting out information that's actually kind of important to the, you know, to the public. Do you think it's really necessary?
Yeah, well, that's typical of any corporation. They don't want to let out their business to other competitors. I mean, it happens all the time in other businesses. I don't see what the difference is between the gaming industry and any other industry.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of... I know. I mean, I know that other corporations do the same thing, but it's kind of... I don't know. The video game community deserve to hear, you know, the truth, but then again, that's with every corporation.
Yeah, I mean, Brian's right, it is typical, but with Itagaki, I'd put a gag order on that guy, too. That guy's just nuts. I believe he had, you know, some woman filed her sexual harassment on that guy, and that guy's always wearing shades. What's up with that? It's mad creepy.
That's true.
Hey, your future is so bright, man. Gotta wear shades.
And as for, what's that other dude's name? Delaware?
Yeah.
Robert Delaware. Well, I mean, Microsoft was right to do what they're doing, but it sucks for that dude. But I'm going to have to give him props, and I'd have to support that guy and hope the best for him.
Yeah. I mean, it just comes back to Microsoft. I mean, they knew that their product was faulty, but they still shipped it out anyways. I mean, wouldn't you have, you know, said something or at least, you know, pull back the launch date on the console and get those corrected? Or was it already too long into development that they just couldn't do that?
Well, you know, that's neither here nor there with the gag orders. I mean, that's a company problem. The gag orders are going to be there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether they should have, would have, could have. You know, Microsoft should do a lot of things, but sometimes they don't. So,
Well, that's it on me.
Well then, just, you know, so your favorite company or publisher, Capcom, right?
Yeah. Woot woot on Capcom.
Well, let's see. Looks like they're basically looking for... looks like they want to expand, looking for other overseas partners or Western partners. And according to them, it kind of seems like they're feeling left behind and that the Japanese publishers aren't as big as they used to be. I mean, even if you look at most of the Xbox and PlayStation games, it's mainly, I believe, dominated by the Western developers.
Yeah, I have seen that. I mean, most of the games now, like Too Human and Resistance and all that, they're companies from here, so it makes sense for them to go after Western developers. But I always thought they had some Western help in the past.
Capcom? I don't know. I'm not positive on those guys. But would this also be a decline of Japanese publishers, you think, maybe? Or maybe they're all just having a little bit of trouble?
I would think so. I mean, there's a lot of indie companies that are starting to get developed, and most of the indie companies are from the Western side. So I guess, you know, we're more into self-made games than from the big corporations. But then again, we have EA and all of them, so then those are pretty big powerhouses. So Capcom would be making a wise decision to do this.
Here's what I'm thinking about the market. All the companies are changing lately. It's the whole industry is changing. People are falling off. We talked about this last week. People are getting ate up. Companies are getting ate up. Independent games are coming out. I think it's a good move by Capcom to start looking for some partners to strengthen. You know, if you want to stay alive, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I can't blame them for that.
I'm just hoping that one day, then, if all these companies get together like that, there's going to be like a huge, big mashup like the Marvel vs. Capcom games. Or on the Dreamcast, they had something like that with all their Sega characters in a fighting game.
Really?
Yeah, but I forgot the name of it. Like, even the race car from Daytona USA was in it.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little over the top, but still, I mean, it had a bunch of crazy shit in it. It was great.
Well, you just run people over or what?
No, it actually stood up, and his tires were his hands and legs and move around.
Transformers, anyone?
There used to be a cartoon on about a teenage kid that used to transform into a Camaro. I can't remember what the name of it was.
But, wait, wasn't it a buggy?
No. No, he turned into a Camaro and Turbo Teen or some bullshit like that. I don't know. That's what it reminds me. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, we all.
Okay, let's. I want to talk about game critics. What's your opinions on gaming critics, like magazines, websites, just. People that are in the industry that are reviewing games, not necessarily politicians that are criticizing games.
I think that you just can't trust one nowadays. Unless you go to sixthsensevgp.blogspot.com. Those guys tell the truth all the time. But yeah, I don't think you can trust just one. I mean, me and Smoof are always on gametab.com, and we like to get our opinions off of multiple websites, because I know that I think it was GameStop, or was it GameSpot.
What?
One of the guys did an article on a game. I forgot which one it was, but the people at GameSpot told him that he couldn't write that story because it was contradictory, because I guess they were getting advertisement from that game. I wish I knew what it was called, but yeah, they're getting advertisement from a certain game, and the critic gave it a horrible score, but the company itself said that you can't publish that story because you gave it a bad score because we get advertisement from them. So all I could say is, when it comes to video game critics, don't base your scoring on just one website. Go on multiple websites like IGN, 1UP, you know, all those websites to get your opinion.
That was that Cannon Lynch game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of credibility kind of shot out the window after that. You know, it makes me wonder a lot now. But, I mean, most of the time anyways, most of these guys are going to be a little bit biased. You know, just a little bit of their fanboy will come out.
Here's what I think about critics. You know, not necessarily if they get squashed by the editor because of a marketing deal. You know, that's one thing. But I got to admit, when I put game critics side by side with movie critics, usually I can tell if I'm going to like the game or not. When I watch when I read a critic's review of a movie. It's usually just exact opposite of, you know, what I think about that movie. So maybe being in the industry and me being a gamer gets me on the same vibe as these critics. But I just wanted to say that I feel like I get more out of reading their reviews as opposed to any other kind of critic, food critic, movie critic, whatever you have. Yeah. So I think they're nailing it on the head, and if you're a game critic out there and you're listening to this, keep up the good work.
Well, I just think the most important thing is if you have fun with it or not.
Yeah, that's true with anything. Okay, moving on. Speaking of having fun, I was reading some. If you didn't know, I picked up like 4 gaming magazines this weekend because I'm a sucker for actually holding the magazine in my hand and reading. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm old, but yeah. I was reading a few articles on the new upcoming game Mirror's Edge, and they talked about how they developed a system of parkour. I guess that's how you say it. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's a
urban street jumping or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. If you watch the last 007 movie in the very beginning where they're jumping from rooftop to rooftop through stairs and all that other stuff, yeah, it was invented in France by David Bell. He did a movie. I know we talked about District B-13.
French movie.
Yeah.
It was pretty neat.
This new deal is sweeping the nation, sweeping the world, actually, with this parkour, this urban street jumping, and yeah, they've stuck it in a game now. So Mirror's Edge is going to have some of that new style of, I don't know, extreme sport in it. What do you guys think?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I like the fact that the way they built their mechanic, like one of the choices that you have is when you do, you know, run around, jump on, you know, poles and, you know, jump from rooftop to rooftop. If you come across a guy who has a weapon, if you pick up that weapon, you become slower and you don't run as fast. And I actually like that. I like that aspect that they put that in, because they put more emphasis on you homing your style of, you know, jumping from one object to another instead of you just run and gun, because that'd just be a regular old FPS. So I like what they're doing with it. I'm very excited for when it comes out. So
yes, parkour. I remember this. I think it was in a game called Assassin's Creed. Nah, but seriously, it's actually, I've always wanted to see something that looked a little more, not so much as realistic, but more like a real first person. How with this, like in the demos, you can see, like, she can see her own legs, hands, and feet, and the camera bobs up and down when she's running around, stuff like that. It just, the game looks amazing. She looks amazing. Her tattoo looks amazing.
So what you're saying is you like the fact that she bobs up and down.
But, yeah, that, and I just hope I don't get any motion sickness from the game.
Well, they did add that dot in the middle. Before, when they were developing the game, they never had a small dot in the middle. I mean, if you guys, audience members, if you've watched the recent videos of Mirror's Edge, you can notice that there's a little dot in the center of the screen. They actually added that a little after their first development that they were doing, because when they used to have testers come in and play the game, the people would actually get sick. So what that dot is supposed to do is it's supposed to show the center point of the screen so you don't get sick. So yeah, I'm pretty sure you won't have any issues with getting sick.
Well, we'll find out when it comes out. I'm sure it's all going to depend on how everyone handles it or not. You know?
I'll let you know. If I don't get sick, then you shouldn't get sick.
I'm just happy that I finally have a game where the lead character looks like Lucy Liu. I've been waiting for so long, and it's finally here.
Okay, well, that's all I got for Gen News. We want to move into, what are we doing? Microsoft. All right.
Let's get into that. So, yeah, Rock Band 2 is about to release on Monday, September 14th. And I just want to know from you guys, are party games the way to go now for developers? I mean, if you see the trend, you know, Rock Band 2, Guitar Hero World Tour is about to come out. You got all the games on the Wii, Boom Blocks, Wii Fit, even though that's not really a, you know, family game-ish. But you got Super Smash, you got Mario Kart, and on the PS3, you know, you got SingStar, you got Buzz is about to come out, and I just want to know from you guys, do you think this is the way to go now for game developers, is to develop games for, you know, 2 to 4 players, you know, standard? Because I remember back in the PS2 days, you can play a game and, you know, by yourself, and you just have a great time. But now it seems like you need 2 or more players to at least enjoy the game.
I think it's an awesome idea. I mean, it's great to have another person around. So would co-op actually count as party, or whatever? But still, party games and co-op games is great. And some games that didn't have the co-op feature, I'm playing it and I'm just like, what would this game like if there was another person in here? Like, say, Assassin's Creed. I think that'd be dope if I could run around with another guy that would kill people with me.
Oh, and yeah. One day they'll have that.
Hell yeah. And it's also, I think, maybe a better way to get more people connected together and stuff like that.
I like the party game ideas. I think Microsoft should jump on board, you know, with both feet. Everybody should. It's a big money maker, bringing in the casual gamers and the people who, you know, have never even touched a video game before. It's a good idea. I think gaming with other people is more fun than gaming alone. I mean, you can jerk off alone, or you can.
Oh my gosh!
I knew it was going to come up in one of these podcasts, and you just brought it up.
Okay,
I'm
sorry. We
jerked together.
No, I mean, doing things with a partner is better than doing it alone. Let's leave it at that.
That even sounds suggestive.
Well, it's not as suggestive. It's not blatantly saying it.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay.
Well, this November, supposedly, sometime in the fall, Microsoft is, I believe they're promising a fall dashboard update. I think they're either just trying to come up with times, or they just don't like their update, or they just want to try to, I guess, compete with the other two guys, the PlayStation and the Wii. And not only... The thing I don't get, though, is it kind of looks more like iTunes now, and then they also have these avatars, and they also supposedly they came up with these avatars before Miis. I really don't buy it.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that.
But, I mean, the update sounds cool. I'm just wondering, is it going to be... you've seen their blades, right?
Yeah.
Is that going to be useless now? Is all the wallpaper that everyone else bought, are they going to be SOL now, or what?
Well, let me answer that question with a question. Do you really care? Do you really care about this update? Because I personally don't. It looks, like you said, it looks like iTunes cover flow. I mean, it's still in its blades format. I mean, you just go left and right, and it just shows up. And the whole avatars thing, I mean, what a way to jump on the bandwagon. I'm not too excited about it.
I'm not that excited about it either. Don't really care too much, but I just hope they're not going to just, you know, screw the consumer. That's the only thing I really care about.
I don't have an Xbox, so I can't really chime in on the update. You know, like I said before, you got to do what you got to do to make money. So if they're going to copy, you know, iTunes and copy Nintendo Mii's, that's what they're going to do. You know, if it makes the customer happy, great.
Yeah, it's not like the PS3 hasn't copied anyone either. I mean, they have trophies now, and yeah. Xbox had achievements. So I guess it's all across the board. Everyone barring everyone else's stuff. So, but I'm personally not excited about the update. I'm definitely not excited for the avatars because I think avatars only, to me, work well on the Wii. I mean, it makes sense for the Wii, but for the Xbox 360, for them to do it now, it doesn't make sense.
I just also just didn't like how Microsoft denied the Mii idea, and PlayStation never said anything like, oh, we came up with trophies before them.
Well, you know, it is Microsoft. I know I keep saying that, but...
everyone's biting off everyone.
Standard operating procedure for the last, you know, 25 years.
I think I feel like a kind of like a hypocrite because I do say that our avatars don't really... You know, it only fits for the Wii, but then again, PS3 is about to hopefully release Home this year, and they're going to have avatars too. So
yeah, but at least that's just like regular people. It's not like you're running around and look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
okay.
Next topic.
Microsoft, let's talk about Blu-ray for Xbox. They gave up on HD DVD. HD lost. Yay! Sony wins. They weren't about to take another beating like they did with the beta back in the VCR days. So, when is Microsoft going to embrace Sony's creation? You know, they said that they would. Whoever won the format war, that's what they would go with. But all I see them doing is selling more Xboxes with higher, you know, storage space, and them touting that they're just going to focus on digital downloads and instead of, you know, adding Blu-ray to their systems. You guys have any idea when it's going to be that they're going to do this?
Well, personally, I just don't think Microsoft should go with the Blu-ray. I mean, they could, but like I think it might hurt Sony if Xbox went to Blu-ray, because then that's another reason why you don't have to get a PlayStation. And I think Microsoft should just come out with a bigger hard drive, and if they really want to go for that digital distribution, they should try and push for it. The 120 gigs, yeah, it's bigger now, but I don't think it's enough, especially if they're going to go with, say they're going to start doing Blu-ray high-definition movies. How much space is that going to take up? Because those Blu-ray discs would take up, what, 40 gigs?
Yeah, this is the same thing about the avatars. I mean, it's already too late in the game to add that in. And I heard that Blu-ray might only have 5 years left. I remember reading that a person said that Blu-ray... They only gave it 5 more years, and then a new format would show up. So, Xbox only has, I don't even know how many years left in its life cycle. What, 2 years, maybe? So, I think it'd be, one, a waste of money, and two, I mean, they tried with HD DVD, and if they add a Blu-ray player in there, sure, that'd be nice, but, like I said, that console only has a couple years left in its life.
Yeah, another downfall for if the Xbox went the Blu-ray. I think they have to pay royalties to Sony if they went with the Blu-ray box to add on to the Xbox.
Well, yeah, obviously. But here's what I'm saying. You know, let's think about the future. They're going to make another console after this, obviously. Are they going to incorporate then? Because, you know, Blu-ray might only have 5 years left until they come out with another format, but how long is it going to last before people change over to the new format? I don't think a lot of people are going to change formats that quickly. Blu-ray's been out for a little while now, and people aren't upgrading as fast as you would think to DVD to Blu-ray. I mean, look how long it took for people to go from VCR tapes to DVD. So I think Microsoft's going to have to check it out eventually, make a decision.
I personally wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft ended up thinking of a new, totally revamped format to start having their games on. I know they failed with HD DVD, but now that they know the technology of Blu-ray, they might want to counter that with something totally different. Yeah. Only time will tell.
Yep.
I dig Blu-ray, so.
I did too, if I could afford it.
Yeah. I wish the Blu-ray movies were not as expensive as they are.
Yeah, I've only got like two.
Well, I mean, even DVDs and DVD players were expensive when they first came out. So I'm sure like, over time it's going to eventually level out good.
Yep. Well, let's move on to Sony news. Tons of updates this week. We got the update finally for Rock Band to use the Guitar Hero 3 Les Paul, or no, the Gibson guitar. As you guys already know, Xbox already had this feature when Rock Band came out. I don't know if it was intentional, it was probably by accident, but it worked perfectly. PS3, when it first came out, it wasn't, you know, available to us, so we finally got the update. I tested it out, everything's working fine. And I was supposed to use all of the instruments this morning, but our other friend didn't show up, so boo-hoo to that person. And you know, you know who you are. Other than that, we got Pain, finally, as Deadweight mentioned. Pain came out. It was supposed to come out last week, didn't come out, came out this week, and I'm loving it. That's pretty much it. When I talk about these updates that have been coming out, one of the issues that I keep thinking is, we notice that these, you know, individual developed games come out, or, you know, just regular games are being shown up on the PlayStation Store. But have you noticed that the game will come out, and then 2 weeks later, the demo would come out right after it? Is that even a smart idea? I mean, I know Xbox, they have a demo and the game at the same time, but for some reason, PS3 seems to be late on pretty much everything. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think Sony needs to get their act together on timeliness in general. They're losing the battle on when games come out. Microsoft's getting them before they are. And this deal that you're talking about, you know, they just need to get their crap together and be a little more timely.
Personally, I didn't know. I haven't really noticed anything on these late demos and stuff.
Oh.
sorry. But hopefully, they should get their act together on that stuff. But actually, I think next week, the Fractured demo is going to be coming out for PS3 and Microsoft at the same time on the 18th.
Oh, nice.
But that's the only thing I know that's coming out at the same time.
Oh.
But if they don't get on the same schedule as Microsoft, everyone on the PlayStation Network's gonna feel left behind.
Yeah, and they've been out for quite some time. You figured that they would have gotten it right already, but I don't know. Is it the fact that they all their stuff comes out on Thursday and all of Microsoft's stuff comes out on Monday, or I don't know. I don't understand why they do what they do.
Maybe they just don't care. Maybe they hate us.
Maybe the Japanese thinks that a Thursday is like their Monday. It's the beginning of their week.
Yeah, that could be it.
Just a crazy theory.
Who knows what why the Japanese do what they do? I mean,
like those weird toys.
Right. I don't think we should discuss the toys on the podcast. Which got smoof.
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 Basically, let's see. Games that used to be exclusive to Microsoft are now coming out on the PS3, but they are coming out with extra features and stuff. I'm just wondering if this is going to be a continuing trend. BioShock and Eternal Sonata were both exclusives, and they will be coming out next month in October. BioShock seems to have a survival mode or just a hard mode, and some, what was it, extra, like, challenge rooms?
Yeah, challenge rooms.
Yep, that, and it's coming with all the extra plasmids or that downloadable content that was released for the 360. That's going to be included as well. And Eternal Sonata will be basically like an enhanced version. It seems like they're adding a bunch of stuff to that too. They're adding two new characters, extra cutscenes, new outfits and musics, new dungeons and quests, multiple endings, and new 2D illustrations for all the main characters. Is this going to be a continuing trend for any games that used to be exclusives?
I hope not. You know, it sure seems like during this podcast that Microsoft is really whooping Sony's ass, but maybe that's the truth. Maybe they're doing a better job of getting the games out there in the gamers' hands and better content. They got stuck with Yoda lately on Soul Calibur, but other than that, it seems like they're doing a bang up job.
I guess it's all comes down to, you know, Microsoft always getting the games earlier than the PS3, like a month early. But for these games that are exclusive of Microsoft, and then the developers say, hey, let's go ahead and develop for the PS3. And since we're developing on this new platform, why don't we add some new stuff that wasn't in the original? So it kind of begs the question, should you really have an Xbox 360 to play these games 1 month early? Or should you have a PS3 and get the game much later, but with more content? I personally would go with the PS3 way. I would not mind waiting, you know, a couple more months for a game to come out with more content on it, short of downloading it from the store.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Well, once again, though, something like these, they probably should come up with some kind of announcement, hopefully soon, saying that they're not exclusive. Because I feel the consumer, once again, might be getting screwed. And if you like these games that much and you really want to play the extra content, you're going to have to go over to the other side and get these games.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like we are not the norm when it comes to, or at least I'm not the norm when it comes to gamers, because they have mostly both systems or three systems or some old generation systems. And I don't think there's a lot of hardcore gamers, at least out there, that just have the one system.
So do you think that's like the developer's point of view? They say, well, we think that the average gamer has both systems, so we would automatically assume that that person would be willing to buy the same game for both, you know, systems. Knowing that, you know, if you like the game that much and then we release it on the other system and say that there's going to be more content, the player who loves that game would automatically want to go ahead and go out and buy that second version.
Yeah, and I also think that they're banking on that if, you know, they both have the same, they both have consoles and the game comes out with the same content or just minor tweaks, whoever comes out first is going to get that sale, because a lot of gamers might say, well, content's not good enough for me to bother buying it for the other system. So I think that's where Microsoft's going with the whole, let me get it out first a few weeks ahead of time.
That's fine. Let them have their shitty copy. Copy of PS3.
Yeah, you know, I read an article today about a game coming out for PS3 called Flower. And what you basically do is control the wind so you can spread flower seeds across a hilly, grassy landscape and change it from dull, burnt grass to a beautiful color. And they were talking about the cell processor being able to individually render 200,000 blades of grass and move with the wind. You know, that's some serious power compared to Microsoft. So, yeah, they might get crappy copies until they come out with a new console.
Yeah, and even then, I'm still kind of PO'd about the game being released on both consoles, because most of the time, you really can't see the graphical difference between the two, because their devs are pretty much rendered to look the same. So I don't even think we really know the capability of the PS3 so far, because all the games that have been coming out look the same on both systems. I think the only ones that, you know, actually push the PS3 to the limits is probably, you know, Metal Gear Solid and some other games. But as far as I can see, all these games that have been coming out, which are on both consoles, it really shows that, you know, the developers, to me, through my eyes, aren't pushing the PS3 to the full capacity, because they know that we can't make this one game on both consoles for the PS3 look better than the 360, because that's not going to, you know, look well for the 360.
Right, and then people might not buy it for Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
And they lose sales that way and lose Microsoft as a customer.
Well, I think the graphical test might come with Final Fantasy 13. I think those guys wanted to go to Blu-ray, but now all of a sudden that game's not exclusive. Are they going to dumb down the graphics, or are they going to try to push it to the limits, or are they going to release a couple discs on 360?
We'll wait and see. All right, where are we at? Don't be so impatient.
It's your story, Deadweight.
We were talking about team gaming earlier, and I noticed that Resistance 2, which I think is going to be completely awesome, I can't wait to see it, is going to have 8-player co-op story mode.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen some 4 players coming up, but 8-player is kind of unprecedented. It sounds pretty cool, but you think it's going to work?
Let's just hope that on launch day, their servers can hold the capacity of the amount of people who are going to be playing on it, because that's been a trend lately, at least on the PS3 side. These games are being released, but the developers don't really know the amount of people who are going to be playing the game, and then the servers really show that by, you know, the lag and it just being really hard to connect to certain games. I know Soul Calibur sometimes has that issue, and they know their fan base. I know that they understand how many people are going to be buying this game because it's Soul Calibur, but I guess they focus more on the single player aspect, and they totally forget like the amount of people who are going to be on the game online, and so the server, you know, suffers for that. Yeah, so I just hope that they have the capacity when it comes out, but if they do, then this is going to be pretty awesome, because I've noticed that Sony has always been the one to push the limit when it comes to multiplayer gaming. I mean, at the E3, they showed, what was the game called?
Mag.
Yeah, Mag. 256 players in one room. I mean, that still, we haven't seen anything about it, but, you know, the concept and idea, Sony has always been on the leading edge of, you know, pushing that kind of thing.
I think these guys are going to be able to do it. I mean, they had, what, the first multiplayer game that had 64 people? The first Resistance game did on multiplayer online.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's doable. And maybe it's a little different, but I really think it's doable.
Yeah, that seems so wild. Eight-player story mode co-op. I would have never thought that would be possible.
That's kind of hot, man. I'd like to see how that works out. That's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm all for co-op. I love co-op. One guy, two guys, 4 guys on a team, that's great. Whatever. More the merrier. I had 256 guys. You have a whole army against the alien invasion force. Hell yeah, let's do it. Yeah, anyway, the other thing I want to talk about while we're still talking about Sony news is upgrading your hard drive for the PS3. I read an article about it. seems fairly straightforward and simple. And I know, Maverick, you actually did this to your PS3, didn't you?
Yep, I totally molested my PS3 and inserted a bigger hard drive, and she enjoyed it.
Nice. Well, was it easy? Was it hard? Did you have any trouble?
It was really easy, actually. All the tools are in the machine itself, so you just back it up to an external hard drive, all your saved games, all your pictures, everything that you have. You turn the system off, you pop the side off, you take the old hard drive out, put the new one in, start it up again, it reformats the hard drive, and then it asks, do you have an external hard drive with your information on it, and would you like to transfer that information over? You say yes, and you just wait. And it actually does it pretty slick, too, because once you're done, it turns everything back to the way it was. You know, if you had custom wallpaper up, it will put the custom wallpaper back on. If certain settings were tuned to your liking, they'll tune it back to the way it was. So once you turn on your console and transfer all your files over, it acts like nothing ever happened. It just give you know, a bigger size hard drive. So yeah, it was pretty easy. It was quick. Probably took me about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And yeah, from the original, I think it was 30 gigs that I had in there, to a whopping 120 gigs. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
That sounds pretty cool. One thing that you told me I wanted to note, that is, depending on how much stuff you want to backup, you have to have that much space on a backup external hard drive to store it.
Well, I'm a visual kind of guy. You should make a video podcast on that.
Wow, you thanks know, for... all right.
That's a good idea. When I actually do it, I will do that.
Damn right.
Yeah, because I'm too lazy to redo it over again.
Yeah. No sense in making you redo it when I'm going to do it. So.
Thank you.
Sounds good. You want to move on to Nintendo?
Yes, and actually this is a milestone, gentlemen. We have our first viewer mail from Matt D. in Reno. So, Matt D., thank you for sending me viewer mail. What happened was I set up a poll question on our website, sixthsensevgp.blogspot.com, asking, is the Wii dead? And actually, I can pull up the stats on that right now.
Oh, is the poll dead?
Is the Wii dead? So far, we had 7 people vote on it. And the results as of today is 3, yes, 4, no. So apparently, the Wii is not dead. I'll go ahead and read that viewer mail in regards to that poll question. Matt D. writes, referring to your question about whether the Wii is dead, I don't see any possible reason how the Wii could be dead. Here's the thing, if you're a hardcore gamer, then the Wii might not be for you. I don't believe Wii should be put in the same context as Xbox 360 or PS3. The Wii is meant to be fun for everyone and innovative, whereas PS3 and Xbox 360 is geared towards people who enjoy FPS-style games and amazing graphics. There may not be any off-the-chart games being released, but that doesn't mean Wii's tenure is up. The fact that you can download older classic games makes Nintendo Wii the most supplemental gaming system for everyone. Not to mention, Wii is great when having a diverse level of gamers playing together. It's much more fun when everyone is having a great time playing Mario Kart instead of 3 people playing Halo because everyone else sucks. So, thanks, Matt, and I guess we'll open up the floor to respond to that.
He's got a good point. I like his email, and guy must be smart.
I believe so.
Yeah. Stop being sarcastic.
Hey, I got a Wii. I mean, I haven't touched it in a while, but my kids love it. It's I'm hardcore. They're not, so.
Yeah, I know in the first podcast I did say that, you know, I'm done with the Wii, but I've been to a couple parties for the past week, and you know, we've been playing Wii Fit and Wii Sports, and I have to say, I mean, the Wii isn't dead. The only thing that I'm going to say is it's hard to play the Wii by yourself and enjoy it personally. I would rather, if I owned a Wii, which I don't, my girlfriend does, I would rather have, you know, 3-4 people over at the house to play rather than me playing Boom Blocks by myself, because I've done that and it's been pretty lame. So I wouldn't say the Wii is dead. I just say in order to keep it alive and well, you need a lot of people to play.
Well, I don't have a Wii, but I could see this, though. It's popular. Keeps selling out all the damn time. I don't have too much against it. I wish there were some more games I would like on it. But yeah, it's far from dead, as far as I can tell anyways.
So, yeah. Thanks, Matt, from Reno, for sending us that question. And if you guys have any other questions that you'd like to ask us, please feel free. Don't be shy. Send us an email at either, for me, maverick.sixthsense@gmail.com, or smoof at smoof.sixthsense@gmail.com, and either Deadweight, if you really, really want to talk to him, it's deadweight.sixthsense@gmail.com.
Don't bother me. No, seriously, you can email me anytime. I will respond and when I feel like it.
Yeah, send her hate mail. See how I respond.
Yeah, send me hate mail. Find out.
Controversy, I like it.
Yeah, I'll try to have poll questions up every after every podcast, so we can have stuff to talk about on the next podcast. So if you guys go on the website, please look out for that, and I'd like your guys' response.
Let's see. We don't have much Wii news, so I'll go ahead and talk about Wii music coming out in November of 08. We've been talking about Rock Band. Rock
Lame.
Band.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, can you get any...
Sorry.
No, I mean, can you get any easier than this? All you got to do is shake the Wiimote and it plays the song. I mean, what is Fisher Price? Who developed this game?
Hey, man, I saw the video of the Asian girl making dog sounds with her Wiimote plus nunchuck, and she even looked confused.
Well,
it's going to be another phenomenal hit for no reason.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it is. I think people are going to jump on this like crazy and love it like a Happy Meal.
But we all know we shouldn't.
But yeah, no. It's retarded. But I think this is going to be a big hit.
Like I said, if they made like Wii Beekeeper and Wii Gardening, it'll sell too.
it blows my mind that, you know, they can do this, and we all know it's going to make so much money, but at the same time, we know that we shouldn't buy it because it's not much more innovative than what's been coming out already. I mean, you just shake your controllers and it makes music, and that's going to sell tons of money. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is pretty sad. Other than that, let's talk about Wii add-ons. You know, the Wii doesn't play DVDs. At first, you couldn't get on Wi-Fi with it. You know, they've got all these add-ons that you have to buy extra. Like Wii Speak is coming out, so you can talk to people you're playing over the internet. Motion Plus is coming out. If you haven't heard about it, it's going to give more accuracy to the Wiimote, but it's an add-on. You got to plug it into the bottom of your Wiimote. Then there was the balance board for Wii Fit. I don't know if that's really... I mean, that's appropriate for Wii Fit, but you know, it's another peripheral you got to buy for Wii. I mean, the price of $250 for the system just went up to what it costs to get a damn PlayStation, now a PS3. What do you guys think?
Wow. I wonder, how much would it cost for with all the accessories and crap? Any idea?
Well, if you figure that the Wii is $250, a Wii Fit by itself is $90 or $100.
Jesus.
So you're already at $350, which is around the same price as the Elite Xbox 360 and the PS3 is what? Is the PS3 at $399 or is it $499? $399. So it's pretty much the same.
Wow.
But then again, it goes back to what you like to do.
You don't even have a DVD player on that or a Blu-ray player like PlayStation has. At least Microsoft, you could play DVDs, you know. Don't get me wrong. I love my Wii. It's fun to play with the kids and everything. But, Nintendo's really tacking it on. I mean, that's a lot of dough.
But every console does it. I mean, the PS3 is about to come out with their Bluetooth headset and their keyboard, and Xbox 360 had a keyboard. But the Wii, I think their peripherals are probably the most expensive out there. I mean, don't quote me on that. I'm just...
Well, definitely with the board, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, $90 for a piece of plastic that you stand on is crazy.
Well, it looks like they took a page out of Sega, but they're being successful out of it. Everything, all those extra add-ons Sega made just didn't do good. They all went to crap.
I will say that when the Dreamcast came out, I did buy the keyboard for it and the, it already had internet on it, but yeah, I bought the keyboard for Typing of the Dead, if everyone remembers that game.
Turkey!
Yeah, so I bought that, and I think back then it was like $30, but, you know, back then $30 was a lot-ish.
Yeah, well, I actually bought the Sega CD back in the day. That was...
Wow!
But Sonic CD, that was the best game I played on the Sega CD system, and that was the best Sonic game.
You didn't buy the attachment for Sega Genesis where you put it on the top?
32X?
Yeah.
When I thought about it, they stopped. Oh. Production of it and everything.
They're like, ah, this is not a good idea.
Yeah, and then they came out the Saturn.
Okay, so...
Yeah,
that was good.
So,
I think we're done with Nintendo.
Yeah.
You guys got PC news?
PC news. Fallout 3 is about to come out. I know Fallout 3 is coming out on the consoles, but... I just figured I'd toss this in there because, again, with Nintendo, there's not much to talk about for the PC. But Fallout 3 is about to come out pretty soon, and they just hit some controversy. They have to change the content of their game because a certain country didn't allow a portion of the game where it would announce prescription drugs, actual prescription drugs in the real world. They would make references during the game, and a country didn't approve of it, so... What Fallout 3 has to do is they have to change their content, but instead of changing their content for that specific country, they're going to change it for everyone. And I bring this story up because another game that is dealing with a certain issue, which is, it's kind of spans everywhere, but Wipeout HD for the PS3 is going to come out, but they didn't pass their epilepsy test.
Ouch.
Yeah, so they have to dumb down the game so it's actually playable with people who have epilepsy. But I've seen the video of Wipeout before and after they've done the changes to it, and it's pretty dramatic. I mean, with the epilepsy-inducing lights in the original version of the Wipeout game, it looked awesome. And now that they took that part out and dumbed it down, it looks actually pretty bland, and I'm actually a little worried about the game. And the reason why I brought this up is, do you think that these certain changes, you know, for certain countries, because everyone has their different rules and regulations on certain things, do you think that the developers should have a portion in, let's say, the option screen to keep certain stuff like this in? Like, if we just use Wipeout, if you buy the game and in the options screen, that they would have keep epilepsy-inducing lights on or off, should they just, you know, have those type of options, or do you think this is all right for them to just to take it completely out of the game and just send it out?
I'm totally upset about that. I think they shouldn't even sell the game in this country if they have that big of a problem with it, you know, because it's retarded. Another thing I read this morning is Resident Evil 5 is coming out, and it's of course set in Africa, and you know, most of the people in Africa are black, but the people were having a hissy fit on the internet that all the zombies were black. So they had to change some of the zombies to white, Asian, you know, what have you, to get a PC mix of zombies in Africa, which makes no sense to me. People whine about the stupidest things.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I heard on a different podcast, they brought up that same issue, and they're saying, well, you can't release Call of Duty World at War and just have the game full of whiteies in it, because it wouldn't make any sense. They have to have it set in the certain, you know, part of the country, and they have to have those certain types of people in it, and to make it, you know, seem realistic. I mean, you just can't have Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and put Asian people in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Well, at least with Resident Evil, I think it did seem a little sensitive, that issue, but I don't think the people of Africa even knew those people were zombies in the game, though. They probably thought the game was just like mass black genocide. I mean, those zombies didn't really look like, you know, your regular zombies from the old Resident Evil games. They look like real, actual, regular people, just really pissed. That's all. I think they probably, maybe not show so much of like the flag genocide scenes, but more of like the real monsters and stuff in it, and maybe educate those people out there what the game is really about.
Well, did you notice that, like, they complain about this one, Resident Evil 5, but did you really hear any complaints of Resident Evil 4? I mean, you're shooting Hispanic people in the face.
Well, true. Nah, I didn't hear anything at all about that one.
See what I mean?
Yeah. You know, we say all this, but on a side note, the game that doesn't pass the epilepsy deal, yeah, maybe you should check that out, fix that. just in case. You know, you don't want to be playing it and your cousin has epileptic seizure as he walks through to the kitchen and just happens to glance at it.
That's true. I don't like the fact that they have to totally change their whole aspect of the game, and, you know, these developers are going through a lot of code and the game is almost done and the country says, no, you can't say those prescription drugs in this game. You're going to have to change it for us. And then they have to bend over backwards to go back into their game and change all this stuff. I mean, it'd be nice if they just have an option where they keep this certain, you know, aspects of the game still in the game instead of taking it all completely out and then, you know, later releasing a special edition Fallout 3 with the content that was originally banned, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know.
And our next topic, Ensemble Studios shutting down after production of Halo Wars and NCSoft downsizing. Well, Microsoft just confirmed earlier this week that Ensemble Studios, which those guys have made the Age of Empires and Age of Mythology games for the PC. I'm pretty sure they did rather well. And they have announced that they will be shutting the doors as soon as Halo Wars is done. Sounds like sad news, and it just sounds really unfortunate and really bad. Would the game even be worth getting for after they shut down the doors? Are they going to actually pour the whole heart into the game, or is it going to be half-assed once it rolls out?
I was kind of confused that they even thought of doing a Halo RTS game, and the fact that this is going to be their last game that they go out on, I think, wasn't a wise decision. I don't know if the game's going to be awesome or not. I'm pretty sure all the Halo fanboys are going to go out and go crazy on it, but I would have liked to see another game that they're originally designed by instead of Halo Wars. But is the reason why they're leaving is because games are so expensive to make that they just put all their money towards Halo Wars and that was it? Their bank account was like totally out of money.
Well, actually, there's a little tidbit I forgot to leave out that I left out at the end was Microsoft is actually going to continue support for Halo Wars, but they're keeping their strong guys and just kind of absorb them somewhere else into the Microsoft company. But it still seems kind of like they might half-ass it, and I just don't understand why they're gonna shut them down if they're gonna just move them around. Unless it saves money, then okay, whatever.
I got nothing. No, yeah, maybe just realize that that's not really that great of a game, and maybe it killed them. I don't know, because just because it says Halo on it doesn't mean it's that great, you know? Could suck balls.
Well, I'm a little upset, because I actually like RTSs, and this game actually looked kind of beautiful. Seeing some of the demos, I was actually kind of psyched for it somewhat, as long as it came out for the PC, because I really don't want to use a controller for an RTS game.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so awkward for Halo to be an RTS. You know what I mean? It just didn't seem like it would make any sense. But, I mean, if it works, then it works. I hope it does, because this is kind of sad news that this company is not going to be who they are anymore.
Yeah, but the way I see it, if something has like an army of whatever, I think you can make an RTS game out of it. I mean, have you played Call of Honor?
No. I'm not really big on RTS stuff.
Oh, well, it was a World War II RTS, and it was actually pretty fun. There's also, I think it's called World in Conflict, and that's a modern war RTS.
Huh.
Yeah. Check it out sometime.
The last RTS I played was Company of Heroes, and that just showed that I don't have any patience for RTS games anymore.
That's what I meant, Company of Heroes, not Call of Honor.
Oh, yes, I played that, and it just showed that I need more patience when it comes to RTS games.
You don't like management?
I don't. I really don't. I don't like to manage men and, you know... that didn't sound right, but...
That's all good.
Yeah, I just don't... I never really liked the fact that I'd have to, you know, manage a platoon and, you know, have to gain resources and build, you know, buildings and all that stuff. Like, Age of Empires, Company of Heroes, and all those games. I could never get into it.
And the other company, NCSoft, I'm not really too surprised that they're trying to downsize. They made Tabula Rasa. I don't know if you guys heard of it.
I heard of it.
Yeah, it was like a space age shooter sci-fi MMO. And that was supposed to be one of the next big things, too, to go up against World of Warcraft. And it did terrible.
Yeah, it just seems like World of Warcraft is taking out everyone left and right.
Yeah, I got some news for that. Maybe next week we'll talk about World of Warcraft and anything that can come up against it.
Nice tease for everyone.
And I'm going to take my shirt off, too. So.
That's what I call an exclusive.
And NCSoft, their Texas studio, that shut down. And they've eliminated positions in their Europe division. So they're getting smaller. I don't know if they're going to actually just close out or they're going to try to partner up with someone to live.
It seems like this year has been really, really scary for game developers because there have been a lot of closeouts, buyouts. A lot of that stuff has been going on this year.
Well, I just hope games don't stop.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't... going to game development for our degrees, huh?
Yeah. Okay. On that, we can move on to a new segment that Deadweight would like to get into. Is it video game trivia?
Yes. It's actually not a trivia question for you, the audience. But actually... It's not like you're going to Buffalo Wild Wings and you get your little deal, and we're not going to do that kind of trivia. I got a new, a little, did you know, okay? Did you know that there's a new Lara Croft game, Tomb Raider, coming out?
Yes, I knew that.
She's hot. Okay.
Did you know?
She has amazing thighs, too, I'd just like to add.
Well, they're going to get even more amazing. Did you know that in the new model for the game, there are 30,000 polygons used to produce Lara Croft? as opposed to the last game they put out, they used 12,000 polygons.
Ooh, does that mean her boobies are going to be even more high def?
Hell yes.
Yes.
The game looks fantastic. They've done a really good job. I've seen some stills of it, and I can't wait to check it out. They say it's going to be a mix of the perfect mix of 50-50 action and puzzle solving / exploration. So
I hope so, because the last couple Tomb Raider games have been so hot. I watched the videos of the new one, and it was kind of nostalgic because it shows her shooting tigers in the face, and that's pretty much how the second Tomb Raider was, and that was the one that I played, and I really liked it. So I'm really hoping for... Actually, I'm really hoping for any of the old school games to do well nowadays, like especially the Sonic games that have been coming out. I know they're supposed to be revamping Sonic and with a whole new, you know, style to it, and I've been rooting for all these old school titles to do well in a next gen scene, but lately they haven't been doing so well. So I hope Tomb Raider is gonna do good.
So how many pixels would that be for each booby? Any guesses? No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna ask that.
Serious. Yeah. So did you know? There you go.
Awesome.
Now you are. Now you know. And well, we won't use the G.I. Joe thing. That's
copyright.
Do we still want to do old school games that we want to see revived, or do you?
Yeah, actually, I got an old school game that I would like to see revived. Actually, it's I don't know, maybe it's a little gay, but I was a big fan of Paperboy. I thought it was pretty fun. I don't know how they would do it now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how would they do that next gen? Would Paperboy be on a motorcycle this time and?
No, you know,
looking back, Bruce Lee or something.
They could do a 3D version, I guess, but maybe just re-release Paperboy for a PSN download, Xbox Live download. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, whoever advertised that should really, you know, be a sellout, and maybe Paperboy can throw GameFly games at the mailboxes or something.
Oh, yeah.
Netflix action.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
What do you guys got for old school games?
Gears of Paperboy. I'm just messing. Me? Sure. Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of RoboCop, and they came out with a game called E-SWAT. And you were a cop, and eventually, after you got your first three guys you busted, they gave you all this, like, this armor with a machine gun hand, and you're, like, RoboCop just busting criminals. It was just a side-scroller shooter, and I loved that game back in the day. It was just lots of fun, and it'd be nice if they remade that, too, like, in the style of, like, Bionic Commando or something.
Yeah, that seems like a theme lately. It's with all these old school games, they should use Bionic Commando's template to revive all those old games. As far as me, I would like to see Wonder Boy redid for next gen. If you guys don't know what Wonder Boy is, I played the original one on the Sega Master System, which I still have to this day. I still have my Sega Master System. And Wonder Boy was pretty much a adventure platform game style, and it was really fun. I used to play it all the time. My sister used to play it all the time. We never beat it, so if you can develop a game, a Wonder Boy game that is beatable, that would be nice. And yeah, it was super fun, so I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard of that game.
No, I don't remember that either. I never had a Sega Master System, though.
Oh, you guys are missing out. So fun. So fun.
And a Genesis. Does that count?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, boo.
Yeah, boo-hoo on you.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can get into the giveaway that I mentioned earlier before the podcast. I am giving away a SOCOM beta key. I purchased Core, the first episode, and they just released the beta keys for SOCOM. But thanks to Smoof, he was able to get a beta key and gave me and Deadweight spare keys. So we're all on SOCOM now. So I have no use for the Core SOCOM beta key. So I'm going to be giving it away, believe it or not. And yes, this is the second episode. And yes, we are hella tight because we are giving these away for free. Or I should say giving this away for free because it's only one. So all you have to do is send me an email. And in the title of the email, just put SOCOM beta key. And with that email, I'll have your email address. And the first person to send me an email, of course, after this podcast, you will be the lucky winner of the SOCOM beta key.
Sorry to interrupt, but they should write why they deserve to get the beta key.
You make them do an essay? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be long. It could be a sentence. Be like, I deserve it because I should. And I'll be cool with that.
Do you think I should just read it on the next show that we have, and then we'll all...
I think you should do that.
All right. So, thanks to Smoof, you guys have to write an essay. So, if you want to send hate mail to Smoof, send it at smoof.success@gmail.com. But, for seriously, if you want the SOCOM beta key, make sure you are the first person. Well, I guess it's not the first person anymore. Give us the best reason why you deserve the SOCOM beta key. Send it to maverick.sixcents@gmail.com. Again, that's maverick.6cents@gmail.com. And on the next podcast, we will read the emails, and we will all vote on who should be the winner of that SOCOM beta key. So, good luck. And for a runner-up prize, you get nothing. So, do your best.
Good luck.
I guess that's it.
Okay.
All right. So, thank you guys for listening to us once again. I am Maverick. You can hit me up on the PSN or on the Xbox 360 at Maverick2006. Or if you want to send me an email, if you haven't already heard my email address enough already, it's maverick.sixcents@gmail.com.
This is Smoofs. Signing off. My PSN, Smoof914. Check out the blogs from everyone at sixcentsvgp.blogspot.com. And if you want to send me a hate mail, go right ahead.
And I am Deadweight. You can hit me up at deadweight.sixcents@gmail.com or myspace.com/IamDeadweight. And that's under construction, so I don't want to hear any crap from anybody.
Also, if you guys haven't already noticed, on the website, when you go to sixcentsvgp.blogspot.com, you can now add our podcast to iTunes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can add our podcast to iTunes. Unofficially, of course. We haven't submitted it yet, so this is an unofficial addition to iTunes. If you click on the RSS feed that I have set up for each podcast, you'll be redirected to a different website, and on the right-hand side, there should be an option that says Add to iTunes. And if you click on that link, it'll send you to iTunes, it'll add it in there for you, and you will get your podcasts, or your Sixth Sense podcasts, added every time I publish them. So, you can now be a lazy bastard and, you know, wait for our podcast to show up in iTunes. But please don't wait. Come to the website. Look at all of our posts that we put on our very intelligent, thought through, well-written, grammatically checked posts from everyone, and that would be great. We are thinking about doing some charity work pretty soon to try and get our name out. That's under works right now, so stay tuned for that. Other than that, I think that's about it. Do you guys have any more shout-outs, anything else to say?
No, I'm good. See you next time.
Wow. Wow.
Good night, Choco Bros.
All right, people. See you next time.